I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of Holy Baptism this morning. Special word of welcome to the Bowers and the Robinson families, as today we're looking forward to welcoming Emmy Rose into the family of the church through Holy Baptism. So you're all very welcome here today, as is everybody else and everybody joining us online. We hope that everybody will be able to feel part of this special day together as we worship and we welcome Emmy into the family of the church. Just a reminder of a few announcements for the week that is to come. I'm going to just mention, they've all been on the screen as you come in, but I'm going to mention one or two things that don't happen every week. In particular, this evening we have our special service of thanksgiving and remembrance for those who have died in the past year. That's at 7 o'clock this evening. And on tomorrow, just a reminder that the toddlers and the BB are back in action, and on Tuesday the anchors will be back in action after the half-term break. Also to mention that on Wednesday morning at 9:30, the funeral service of Mrs. Margaret Foster takes place here in church. And on Wednesday afternoon, the Ladies' Friendship Group will be meeting at 2 o'clock, and all ladies are welcome. Our service is next Sunday, our Holy Communion at 9 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, our annual service of remembrance and an act of remembrance. And next Sunday evening at 7, our service is Holy Communion. We're going to begin by worshiping together as we welcome Jesus into our midst, and we sing, "Jesus, stand among us at the meeting of our lives." Our service today is the service of Holy Baptism, and you'll find all the responses you need for the service on the screen. Our Lord Jesus Christ has told us that to enter the kingdom of heaven we must be born again of water and the Spirit, and has given us baptism as the sign and seal of this new birth. Here we are washed by the Holy Spirit and made clean. Here we are clothed with Christ, dying to sin that we may live his risen life. As children of God, we have a new dignity, and God calls us to fullness of life. Holy baptism is administered to infants on the understanding that they will be brought up in the fellowship of Christ's church, that they will be taught the Christian faith, and when they publicly confess this faith, they will be confirmed by the bishop and admitted to Holy Communion. So I'm going to invite the congregation to be seated, and I'm going to invite Emmy Rose's parents and godparents to stand. Good morning. You just turn around and say hello to us here. And as we welcome those who come to be baptized, I'm going to invite their sponsors to present them now. So who do you present this morning to be baptized?
We present Emmy Rose to be baptized.
Emmy Rose is being presented to be baptized. And so I want to ask, as her parents and godparents, will you accept the responsibilities placed upon you in bringing Emmy for baptism and answer on her behalf? By your own prayers and example, by your teaching and love, will you encourage her in the life and faith of the Christian community?
With the help of God, we will.
In baptism, this child begins her journey in faith, and you speak for her today. Will you care for her and help her to take her place within the life and worship of Christ Church?
With the help of God, we will.
A special prayer for today. Father in heaven, whose Son Jesus welcomed children and blessed them, give us all we need to be a blessing to Emmy and all children in our care, in order that they may come to know your love and in turn grow to love you as their own Heavenly Father. Amen.
Amen.
Our reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, starting at verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and he prayed about himself. God, I thank you, I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. People were also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like this little child will never enter it. A certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I've kept since I was a boy, he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad, because he was a man of great wealth. This is the word of the Lord. Now, as we continue our worship, we'll stand and we'll sing together, As the Deer.
Thank you.
Good morning. And just very quickly, if there are still any young people or children in the congregation, now's a perfect time for you to go to Sunday school. Everyone else, you're stuck here. You're not going anywhere. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of baptism. Thank you for your welcome into your kingdom. Help our eyes go to you today. Amen. Our reading this morning was made up of two stories and one conversation that Jesus had. So all I'm going to do today is tell you three stories. They're not subtle stories, but the Bible isn't necessarily a subtle book. The first one is called The Curate and the Drug Dealer. Told you it wasn't subtle. St. Ninian's opened its door one Friday evening to give space for personal reflection and prayer to those in the community. And as the doors opened, two cars arrived in the car park. One chugged in and the other eased in silently. It was a brand new electric car, paid for in cash that very day, and it had an engine that not even the owls in the trees would hear. The curate made its way from his lopsided old Volkswagen to the rail at the front of the church, where he knelt and he began to pray out loud. "You have called me to work in this church, Lord God, and for that I thank you. I give more time than anyone else asks of me to the role of curate, and for that I thank you. Thank you, too, for the hours of study I spend examining your word. Thank you that I give my 10% of income to the needy. And I will continue to do all these things. Amen." Meanwhile, still in the car park, in the new car, sat a very wealthy man. As he'd paid for the car that day in cash, it had dawned on him that the way he earned his money was killing people and destroying lives. He said to himself and to anyone who was listening, "That's what I am. I'm a drug dealer." And then he said, "I'm no better than scum." He'd heard the church was open for prayer, but he couldn't even bring himself to go in. Instead, he drove away, whispering, "God, if you can even bear to look at me, help me." Now another story, The Eucharist and the Toddler. It's Sunday morning, and in St. Ninian's, they're celebrating Holy Communion. Some new family has gone and brought their toddler. Not only that, they've stayed the duration, and now they're getting up to bring the whining, crying child to the rails for communion. Everyone is very relieved when a wise member of the congregation steps in. "It's lovely to see you," they say. "But communion's a very special time, and it's quite a quiet time as well. We need to be able to hear what the priest is saying so it can be a holy time. Maybe you could let your child run about outside just for this part of the service." The family apologize and leave, and the others in the congregation mouth their silent thank you to the brave soul, that hero who had done the duty, and allowed them all to celebrate the Eucharist in peace. Our last story is called The IT Man and Jesus. Another Sunday in St. Ninian's, after evening prayer, the church was accidentally left unlocked. The warden, an independent IT consultant by trade, was halfway home when he realized his mistake. He turned his car around and returned to the church. When he got there, he checked to make sure that the place was empty. And it wasn't. There was someone sitting in a pew in the middle of the church. The warden started to explain to the figure that it was time to go as he was locking up. Then he recognized who it was. It was Jesus. "Jesus," said the warden, "it's you. Tell me, while we're face to face, tell me, am I saved?"
"You're saved if you need me," said Jesus. "Need you? What do you mean? My life revolves around you. I serve in the church. I know and believe the creeds and the scriptures. I know how to live well. Of course, I need you." "You're a wealthy man," said Jesus. "I am," replied the warden, "but I earn my money fairly. It's not like I'm a drug dealer or anything. I give over 10% of my income to the church." "That's all true," said Jesus. "But I want you to give more away. In fact, I want you to give so much away that when you pray the Lord's Prayer and you come to that bit, 'Give us today our daily bread,' I want you to have to pray it like you need it." The warden felt so sad as he knew that this was probably never going to be a reality. Jesus left him to lock up and to go home. In our first story, the praying curate's life is at risk. That is, if he hasn't lost it already. He believes in God, of course he does, but his life is based on his pattern, his religiosity, and himself. If God stepped out of the room for a day, the curate probably wouldn't even notice. He would just carry on regardless. The drug dealer is about to save his life. In fact, St. Luke would say that his understanding of his need has been responded to by God already, and God sees him as righteous as he drives from the church. God will guide him in his next steps. He will have to make next steps. We can liken the mindset of the drug dealer to that of a child. A child is completely reliant on their parent for everything: shelter, food, love, everything. While the curate looked more spiritually mature than the drug dealer, he was self-sufficient. The drug dealer, while he was financially sorted, he knew his real and deep need. He knew he was lost without God, like a child would be lost without a carer, in the same way that we, Emmy and Christian, we're worshiping with today, would be lost without a loving adult on hand moment by moment. If their carer was to step out of the room for the day, they would know instinctively that it would be catastrophic. That is why children are often noisy. The cry of a child is most perfectly designed to cut right through our thoughts. That's why emergency sirens sound that same pitch. It's a perfect design. They cut through so that we are aware of their need. When they're hungry, they cry. When they're tired, they cry. When they're angry or irritated, they cry. They cry because they have a need. Every new moment can bring a new need, another cry. It's a noise that we often try to hush up. Certainly not a noise that is conducive to a dignified Eucharist or communion. But Jesus would probably disagree. Their need, their instinct to cry out that need, is the instinct God wants us to have for him. In our last story, the wealthy church warden wasn't a millionaire, but he too was self-sufficient in another way. He was not in need. He had resources he could call on if there was a recession or if the fuel prices went through the roof. That in itself is not a bad thing. But the protective buffer of insurance that he'd built around himself was so thick that it made it hard for him to hear what Jesus was saying to him. If Emmy and Christian's parents were to leave the room for a day, they would quickly notice. They would worry. They would panic. They wouldn't know where to turn. And the question that we're going to take with us during this service and as we go home today is this: if God were to leave us for a day, an hour, a minute, would we notice? Or like a child, would our instinct be to cry out to him because we need him minute by minute? Let's pray just for a short moment. Heavenly Father, thank you for everything you provide for us. Help us to be reliant upon you. Help us to look to you for everything. And when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, may it be something that comes from the heart. Amen.
We're going to invite Rebecca, and we're going to invite her to stand with Emmy. And what we're going to do is we're going to ask her some questions. And we're going to ask you the same questions that little Emmy will be asked when she comes to be confirmed. And these questions are about the same thing, all about putting Jesus at the very center of our heart and our lives. And so the first question I'm going to ask is, do you turn to Christ?
I do.
Do you then renounce the devil and all his works?
I do, by God's help.
Will you obey and serve Christ?
I do, by God's help.
And I'm going to invite the whole congregation to stand. And together you've heard our brothers and sisters respond to Christ. Will you support them in this calling? And so I'm going to invite Rebecca and Glenn, if they would come with me as far as the font. And we're going to bless the water for Emmy's baptism. As we pray for this water, we're going to hear all about the special place of water right throughout the scriptures. We thank you, Almighty God, for the gift of water to sustain, refresh, and cleanse all life. Over water, the Holy Spirit moved in the beginning of creation. Through water, you led the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the Promised Land. In water, your son Jesus received the baptism of John and was anointed by the Holy Spirit as the Messiah, the Christ, to lead us from the death of sin to newness of life. We thank you, Father, for the water of baptism. In it we're buried with Christ in his death. By it we share in his resurrection, and through it we're reborn by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, in joyful obedience to your Son, today we baptize into his fellowship those who come to him in faith. Now we ask you to sanctify this water, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, she may be cleansed from sin and born again. Renewed in your image, may she walk by the light of faith and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Now we're going to ask the whole congregation to profess together with Emmy and her family the faith of the church. And so I ask, do you believe and trust in God the Father?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe and trust in God the Son?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So now I'm going to invite you to come in here around the font beside me. And we're coming to the point of Emmy's baptism. So, great. Can I ask you to name your child?
Emmy Rose.
Emmy Rose, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and I sign you with the sign of the cross. Emmy, today Christ claims you for his own. Receive the sign of the cross. Live as a disciple of Christ. Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith. Confess Christ crucified. Proclaim his resurrection. And look for his coming in glory. And together as we welcome Emmy into the church, we say God has called you into his church. We therefore welcome you as a member with us of the body of Christ, the child of the Heavenly Father, and as an inheritor of the kingdom of God. And as we welcome into the church, we're going to sing a new hymn, the hymn, May the Lord Bless You and Keep You, and we're going to sing it through twice.
Let us pray.
Father, we thank you that Emmy has now been born again of water and the Holy Spirit, and you have become and has become your child by adoption and a member of your church. Grant that she may grow in the faith in which she has been baptized. Grant that she herself may profess it when she comes to be confirmed. Grant that she may bear witness to it by a life of service to others, and that all things belonging to the Spirit may live and grow in her, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, bless Emmy's home, and give such grace and wisdom to all who have the care of her, that by their word and good example they may teach her to know and love you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, come very close to Christian today. Be with him as he grows to become a great big brother. Be with the wider family as they support and love Jonathan and Rebecca. May you become the center of the family and guide everyone in your way of love. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bring to you in prayer all of those who cannot be here today. We pray for any family members who are unwell or going through a difficult time. Will you please be close to them on this special day and be with them and make them a strong and steady part of Emmy's life. And Heavenly Father, we gather all of our prayers together using the words of the prayer your Son taught us, Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We're going to join together to sing our next hymn, which we're going to sing through twice, and it's the hymn Abba Father. Just before we present Emmy with her baptismal candle, we're going to bow our heads for God's blessing as we just invite him to be right at the center of her life and at the very center of all our lives as we go into the week that is ahead. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, establish, strengthen, and settle you in the faith. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.
Before we light Emmy's baptismal candle, I'm going to invite Liz on behalf of St. Finian's Mothers Union to make a little presentation to Emmy's parents.
Thank you. Hello, Rebecca and Jonathan. I have much pleasure in giving you this little book of readings and prayers for Emmy, and I hope you enjoy it. Thank you. Thank you.
So let's join together in our responses as Emmy has just received her baptismal candle, and we're going to invite her to bring the light of Christ wherever she goes in the world with her. God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and has given us a place with the saints in light. Emmy, today you have received the light of Christ. Walk in this light all the days of your life. Shine as a light in the world to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And as we invite Emmy to shine and all of us to shine, we're going to sing our closing hymn, This Little Light of Mine.
Thank you.